please stand for the invocation and the prayer? Dear Lord, we invite you to preside over this meeting, even if we have different opinions. Give us unity of spirit and help us to listen politely as others share their points of views. Help us to work as a unified team in combining ideas for a great outcome. May we have a spirit of camaraderie in this room and work together on our shared mission to make our city a greater place to live. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. The City of Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Please call roll.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca.
Here.
Councilmember Joe Salazar.
Here.
Councilmember Janisa Grider.
Here.
Councilmember Street.
Here.
Councilmember Martin.
Here.
Mayor Aldrich.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. Citizen participation, we have one signed up to speak. That would be Roger Romans.
Good evening, Mayor, Council. Later on in the meeting, you're going to be discussing in item 9K pertaining to Jake. I'm not aware of all the information that you guys get in your packet. I've got some information I want to share so that you can make a well-informed decisions. At the 29 July council meeting, after being informed by the council manager that $2,500 was needed to board and train Jake for 20 days, this council approved that amount. Since that time, staff has allowed Jake to be boarded and trained for an additional two more 20-day periods, thus incurring a financial obligation to the city of an additional $5,000, which was never authorized by council. If Jake is still being boarded, we are now in the fourth 20-day boarding cycle, which means the city will have incurred $10,000 of obligations when only $2,500 have been approved by council. This obligation has been transferred to the Kirby Crime Prevention District. At the October 19th Crime Prevention meeting, city staff advised the Crime Prevention Board that they were authorized to amend their budget only one time in the fiscal year, which started 1 October. The board then discussed and agreed to pay for Jake's current and future boarding fees without specifying a dollar amount or time frame limit. The board also agreed that this action would be bundled into a future budgetary amendment. By not amending the budget at this time, there are no appropriated funds for this additional expenditure, and that is a major no-no when dealing with taxpayers' monies. Also, there are specifications and limitations on what crime districts may spend their monies on. A question not asked at their board meeting, one that this council may want to look into, is this an appropriate and/or authorized expenditure of taxpayers' monies by a crime prevention district? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Romans.
Mayor, I have a comment that was dropped off to read as well.
Thank you.
Okay, this is from Christopher Garza at 4807 Michael Collins. Good afternoon, Council. For item 9K, K-9 Officer Jake needs to be retired and given to one of his previous handlers as he is costing $2,500 every 20 days and being kenneled as per the crime control meeting I attended last week. We need to better take care of our officers, and this includes the short-lived K-9 unit. Kenneling Jake at this moment is just a waste of tax money that could be better spent on more useful resources. And Jake would be better taken care of, given the opportunity to live out the rest of his life with someone who can handle and would be willing to take him. As we all know, Jake poses a threat as a police dog and cannot be taken just by just anyone, and at this point needs to retire and be given to his previous handler to ensure the city does not throw away any more money and that the dog is cared for. I ask that you guys look out for the best interests of the dog and the city resources that are being frivolously spent because of kenneling, and to do the right thing and let Jake live out the rest of his life in a loving home with a previous handler. I'm not exactly sure why this was pushed out to crime control when the council made the original vote to kennel, but this brings me to my second point. I would like to see placed on the agenda that all meetings be taped and distributed to the public via Facebook so that everyone has an opportunity to see and hear what is going on at all meetings. I have previously brought this up and it's never been placed on an agenda, but I would make the most amount of sense as it is free and we already do it for council meetings, so we know it can be done. These meetings that lead to agenda items or that give recommendations to council from those committees ought to be published and should not cost any money to be better informed as a community member, as there is a fee currently to get the recordings if you miss committee meetings. You want residents to be better informed and more involved? Then you should absolutely do what you can to give them access to all meetings. This responsibility should not lay on any resident, but should be something that the city handles to better inform its citizens in what is going on. I ask that it be placed on the agenda that all committee meetings be taped and distributed to the public via Facebook. Thank you.
Next on, moving to 6A, consideration on and action on minutes for regular meeting October 14th, 2021. Is there any discussion on this? Are we, everybody in favor? Raise your right hand.
Did somebody make a motion in a second to approve it?
Well, I thought we always did this.
Mayor, I make a motion to approve the minutes of October 14th, 2021.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Martin and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept the regular meeting minutes of October 14th, 2021. Please call roll.
Well, you can raise your hands now if you'd like, now that we have the motion, if you want them to. All
right. I'm sorry. I thought we always did it all in favor, raise your right hand.
Yeah, but after the motion.
Okay. All right. Sorry, I got ahead of myself.
Yes. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Did you get that, Tree? Okay. 7A, presentation on Judson Independent School District Bond 2021. Come on up, Dr. Fields.
Good evening, Mayor Alden, City Council. Thank you so much for an opportunity to come in and speak about the upcoming bond for Judson ISD. I want to just say publicly that my prayers go out to you and your family, Mayor Aldridge.
Thank you.
I appreciate the time. I want to be brief. I know you guys have some important stuff on the agenda. I would say that back in March, our Growth and Planning Committee started talking about what we were going to put in the Judson or what we were going to make as a recommendation to the board to move forward to do some infrastructure improvements in the district. And the board in July 22nd voted to move forward with a bond in this year's election in the fall, next week on the 2nd of November. In that bond, there are three proposals, one for school improvement for $252.3 million, one for athletics for $14.9 million, and one for technology for $35.3 million. And the goal for the bond was equity. In terms of school improvement, the two areas that I'd like to highlight is that back when some of the schools were created, the standard was not to put AC in the gym. So now we have several schools throughout the district that don't have AC in the gym that kids find themselves competing in back when they come back in July and August and September when it's really hot. So the plan is to put AC in all the gyms across the district. In athletics, the equity issue was that we have two schools that practice on dirt and grass all week and compete on turf at the end of the week in terms of Wagner and Veterans Memorial. So the goal would be to make sure that we put turf fields at all the comprehensive high schools. And then finally, for technology, the equity issue is that, you know, we've really learned through the COVID crisis the need for one-to-one technology for all of the students equal across the board, the need for broadband access in terms of Wi-Fi, and the need for the same technology devices to be in each classroom for the students as well. So in going forward, that would be the total of the bond would be $302.5 million. And one of the things, and this is no tax rate increase to the community. Now, one of the things that we have to put on every bond proposal for the districts across the state now is that this is a property tax increase, and that's a judicial change. But there's no tax rate increase from the district to pay for this bond. Everything would stay the same. And we know that early voting stops tomorrow, and the election will be next Tuesday, November 2nd. That's really all I had. I stand ready for any questions that you may have. I'd really appreciate the opportunity and the time to come in and speak to you guys about the bond. You can learn more about the bond at the Judson ISD website at judsonisd.org, bond 2020. Any questions? No? Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Fields.
Yes, ma'am.
Moving on to 7B, Police Lieutenant Badge Pinning Ceremony.
Good afternoon, Council. We are here to celebrate and honor a man who has dedicated his career for 20 years to the Kirby Police Department. Michael Alonzo started his career at the Kirby Police Department as a reserve police officer in 1999. He then became a full-time peace officer with us the next year in 2020. He has served as a field trainer, a detective, a sergeant, a SWAT team member, a firearms instructor, a background investigator, and currently still now a negotiator with the SWAT team. He will now be serving alongside me as lieutenant of the Kirby Police Department. Alonzo, you have provided me a great deal of support in the last 2 years in Kirby. You have shown yourself to be a reliable partner and someone who can be leaned on when times get tough or if the road is in a clear path. I want to not only congratulate you, but also commend you for your commitment to this community and to your police department. The gold bar that's going to be placed on your left collar will represent that commitment. You have sweat, bled, and have committed yourself to the service of others, not only in your military career, but also as a law enforcement professional. You didn't give up and have never given up on the peers or your city and have always strived to provide the best service possible. The gold bar on your right collar will represent the integrity needed for the position you are undertaking. Integrity is a virtue, which is an absolute requirement in what we do. Integrity being a quality of being honest and having strong moral principles or moral uprightness. It is a state of being whole or undivided, a condition in which should signify unity that is unimpaired and sound in construction. Lastly, the badge. Badge is going to be pinned by the wife and the family, if you guys all want to go up there. The meaning of the badge being pinned on you is going to have a different meaning this time. You're not considered a leader amongst your peers, which includes leadership of other departments within our own. The gold shield will represent your loyalty to your team and their physical and mental well-being. It is my principle to always lead by example, to treat others as you wish to be treated, care for your team on a level unseen or unheard of in our profession. The expectation of you stepping into the role as a lieutenant and my right hand will come with its challenges. First, always listen. Always give the benefit of the doubt, and in the end, make the best judgment in relation to your team's needs. If successful, you will assist me in creating a police department where officers enjoy doing what they do, and through that, we'll provide an even more productive service to our community. Lieutenant Michael Alonzo, thank you for your service to the city and to me. Congratulations on your promotion.
Department can come down for a picture.
Congratulations, Lieutenant.
Congratulations to Lieutenant Alonzo.
But Lieutenant Alonzo, it's a long time in coming. We've been through the battles on the street, so I know exactly.
A long ways.
Congratulations. Yes, sir.
All right. Moving on to 7C, recognize the Yard of the Quarter Beautification and Recycle Committee. Do we have somebody from that committee here? Step on up, Ms. Barber.
Yes. Monique, can we get a picture of them?
Okay. Take it.
I know.
Did you want to make some comments first? Tell us the yard and how y'all selected them. Pose for a photo. He's going to take your picture there. You can get in there as well. And there's a certificate that we're going to hand you as well. So you have that, Mayor, so we can put that in the photo.
I don't.
To 8A, public hearing on a zoning change request for the property located at CB 5903 block lot 8, otherwise known as 3902 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned single family dwelling district R1, to be rezoned as multiple family dwelling district R2 property. Is there anybody here wishing to speak on this item?
Good evening, Council and Mayor. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my request today. My name is Richard Bundick. I'm 29 years old, and I've lived in the city of Kirby my entire life. When I was 18 years old, I decided to purchase the property we're here to discuss today. A year ago, I also decided to purchase the property next door to me as a business opportunity, and I turned it into a rental home. As you all know, the lots on Ackerman are quite large, mine being an acre. When these lots were first divided, an acre of land made sense for a single family. The residents of Kirby needed the piece of property to survive. Most of them held gardens and livestock that occupied more than half of the property. Today, most families wouldn't use that much land. For instance, the back half of my lot has sat empty for the 11 years I've owned the property. In the past year, I've learned that the city of San Antonio is currently suffering a housing shortage, over 20,000 homes. I'm not using the back half of my lot to its potential, and I really would like to. My request is to rezone my property to multifamily living and allow me to develop the back half to put two structures behind my current home for rental use. Many properties here in town are already doing this. They already have rental homes behind them in their zone single-family living. Now, I would like to make one thing clear. I am not proposing, nor have any desire, to put a large apartment complex behind my home. When I went before the Planning and Zoning Commission, phrases such as stacked properties was continuously used, and I think that this phrase creates confusion. I am talking about just putting two structures behind my home They would be accessible by one single driveway that would be up to code and allow for emergency vehicles to come in and out. They each would have about a third of an acre of land. I would put a privacy fence around all three sides so my neighbors could not be disturbed and make sure that all the property met beautification standards. My goal is to create an ongoing revenue source for my family, use my land to its potential, and create more housing for our city. I'm a huge fan of Kirby. I love living here. I have no desire to move, but I do have a desire to create a successful life for myself. The city offers excellent benefits. It's quiet, virtually crime-free, and it's a nice place to grow up. My family has actually been here for over 100 years. My parents were raised here, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents. In closing, I do view this as a win-win for everybody involved. The city will gain more tax revenue from my development, and I will get to create something sustainable for my family. I stand here ready for any questions that you might have.
Okay. Is there anybody else wishing to speak on this issue?
My name is Roger Romans. I'm in no way opposed to what this gentleman is wishing to do. I'm just hoping that before any zoning changes are taking place, that all the neighboring residences have been notified as required by... They've all been notified, because if they have not been notified, they may want to come up here and speak. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Mr. Bundick, could you please return to the podium?
So, Mayor, if there are going to be questions from council, we have to wait and do that on 9B.
That's right. That's right. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm so sorry. Closing the public hearing at 7:27. Okay. Yes, I'm going to deviate. Thank you, Joe. I'm going to skip to 9B. Opening it up on a zoning change request for property located at CB 5903 Block Lot 8, otherwise known as 3902 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas 78219, which is zoned single-family dwelling district R1 to be zoned rezoned as multifamily dwelling district R2 property. Mr. Bundick, return to the podium. I believe we have council members that have questions for you.
Absolutely.
Mr. Bundick, can you tell me what is the square footage going to be of the houses?
I don't have actual plan houses drawn up yet because I wanted to make sure that this went through before I spent thousands of dollars having home plans drawn up. Roughly 1,500 to 2,000 square feet is what I'm estimating.
And are you going to put the access and the egress on Sparkling?
No, it would be where my current driveway is the current plan. So you would take the driveway, you would widen it to code and go all the way down the back of the property.
Off of Ackerman?
Off Ackerman.
Okay, I got you. Okay.
I'm not on the Sparkling side. I'm on the side where the police department is.
Okay.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Bundick?
I don't have any questions for Mr. Bundick, but I got a discussion.
Okay.
Contrary to what he said about we don't use our properties, I have a property there on Ackerman, and I use it all the way to the back. And several of my neighbors do the same. So I don't know where you get your fact that we don't use our properties. I have a barn. People have barns. People have swimming pools. I have two huge gardens. I think, I know Mr. Martin's been to my property. Mr. Grant's been to my property. And it gets used. Now, here's the other problem I have. Unfortunately, for the people within 200 feet of him, their taxes are going to go up. They will go up. Mm-hmm. And the taxes, I'm going to tell on myself, the taxes of my house alone are over $4,000. Imagine what that's going to do to an elderly, because we have a lot of elderlies on Ackerman. Retirees, we have a lot of retirees on Ackerman. Imagine what that's going to do. We should not be slot zoning. It would be like if I go down your street and buy two properties I say, well, I'm going to knock down these houses and make apartments in the middle of happiness. That shouldn't be happening. Unless the whole zoning is changed, it needs to stay single. That's just my opinion.
If I may respond, I did not mean any disrespect when I said that individuals didn't use their whole property. I do understand that there are very many people that do.
Yeah, and the majority that I know of, except the properties that you got, because nobody's there.
Go ahead.
Mr. Bennett, have you spoken to a reasonable amount of the neighbors to see how they are reacted to this?
So I own the property right next to me.
I understand.
The other one next to me, she has not seemed to object it. I have spoken to her. I know the ones on my right, and then the ones across the street all seem to be in favor. The only opposition I did get was from the ones behind me on Hickory Hill. I don't know them personally. I have not spoken to them. They did show up to the Planning and Zoning Commission and voice their opinions. Everybody was notified via mail for this hearing. They did speak to the commission about their opinions. Taxes were not one that really came up. It was more of egress, how the property is going to be used, were they going to have a lot of noise complaints, etc.
I know of two people who are already against this, but I'll let them come up and talk, because I'm not going to talk for them. I live on Ackerman, and I'm just giving my point on what's okay. What I believe is.
Okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I think that you're putting two single-family dwellings on the back of your property is not a bad idea. They're not apartments. It's not a multifamily issue.
No.
You're dividing it into actually bigger than my lot is going to be. If each house has a third of an acre, that's more than I have. So I don't see this as an issue for slot zoning like you're saying, that we're going to put in an apartment complex. That's not what he's doing. He's just putting in two houses, which would be single family homes.
They
and
may
would
be,
have to comply
they
with
be, they
other.
They may be single family homes, but it's still one property. It's still one property.
Councilmember Greider.
So I actually agree with Councilwoman Street. I don't see, I mean, the lots are big. And to Susan's point, that's actually what I was going to say, that it's not. So this is not apartment complexes that it's just going to be popped up. These are houses. And I believe on one of the properties on Ackerman, it's not, well, it shouldn't be used as a multifamily, whatever. But I believe they had like almost like two apartment style type of, some type of property on the back of their house on Ackerman. But anyways, I have no objection to this. Like I said, it's not an apartment. He said he's going to put a privacy fence up. From my understanding, this young man is true to his word. He's never, from what I know and what I've heard, he's a good resident. So I don't see any. The point is, there's not an apartment complex, and I think it's. That's where we're looking at. This is an apartment complex going back there. And also, it's the same driveway. It's not like he's building another driveway to go up or anything like that. And as far as the noise, possible noise complaints, so to your point that people do use their entire property. I've been to some functions on Ackerman, and I've been in the whole backyard. We had a party, so I don't know. Like, I mean, I don't see what that has to, I mean, I don't buy that argument, but I'm for it.
Okay. If there's not any more discussion, I will call for a motion.
If I just yes. do want to add, because the comment about spot zoning, I do need to share that the city attorney did give an opinion on that. That is considered spot zoning. If you add a multifamily unit in the middle of a R1 residential zone, it is indeed spot zoning, even if it's not an apartment complex. And so just put that out there. There's, you know, case law in both directions. So, you know, if you have a right to approve that, but understand that it is spot zoning, and there has been case law on both directions saying whether or not that is allowable.
Okay. One more question. Yes, ma'am.
If it's zoned that way and he eventually sells his property, does it remain zoned R2?
Yes, it does, because this is a rezoning. It's not a specific request. It's a complete rezoning.
Okay.
So
just
he sells
asking.
It. Anything else that qualifies for an R2 can go there.
So if he sells it, someone could put an apartment complex in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yep.
But that's not his plan. Good point, yes. But that's not your plan.
That's not my plan. That is not what I want.
Okay.
I guess, may I ask a question? Because when I did some research on this, I may not have gotten all the proper information. Is there a certain type of request I can make to keep it R1 but also put the homes behind it? My understanding is it's either rezoning or replatting, and there is no other way around it. And I don't really want to divide my lot into multi-lots, which is why I've gone this route. If there's a plan to make some sort of exception that I can bring before council,
I
would
be willing. Those would be your two
It would be
options.
The other two. That's, yes, my, that's what I thought.
Let me ask a question. I know there's some opposition, and sometimes people have trouble coming forward. They feel intimidated, and we hear all this. And quite honestly, I really would not like to vote on it tonight. I would like to postpone this. I would like to ask that you, sir, contact, whether you know them or not, present what you just did to us. Okay? If the opposition then goes away, you know, I think it would be more reasonable to look at. What I hate to see is it go up and a resentment build, and as things go down the line, every time you turn around, somebody's calling. And I don't want to see that. There is no point now. I think that you have the right to develop your property. I got no problem with that. What I have a problem with is sometimes, having been an officer out here myself, I started my career in 75, that people can be vindictive as all get out. And they can call code on you every time you turn around, because I worked it in San Antonio. That's how well I know. I would say this to you. I would feel better if you could bring the information or whatever that these people have said, okay, you know, now we understand what you want to do. Not trying to hogtie or anything, but I would rather leave it open and allow you to build some fences or mend them, however you would like to say it, okay? And if you did that, I think that you'd have a much more favorable situation, if that makes sense to you, sir.
It does.
Thank you.
Prater. So today, so the public hearing was already put out there. So everyone who would want to speak on this had an opportunity and was aware of this.
Right,
they should have been here. It's not like we just popped up today and he just showed up. Like, it was already put out there. So I just want to say that part, that they should already been aware of that. And then I agree. I understand how you were talking about Mayor Pro Tem about the plans showing us that. But if I was in his position, and matter of fact, my brother's in the same position as you right now in Alabama. They're buying the property first, and then they're going to pay the couple thousand dollars to get the plan to the house. I mean, you know, you don't want somebody to spend $2,000 to do plans and all of a sudden it falls through. He's not going to get the houses built. So I get that. But also, just the main point, though, public hearing, it's already been put out there. They had plenty of opportunity to come here today.
May I say this, Constable? If you remember here not too long ago, we had an issue that was an open issue, and to quote you is, well, it may have showed up and we need to do it again, and we couldn't do it again. Always remember, you got to play it both ways, okay? And what I'm saying to you is, this would be all I'm asking this gentleman to do, because we're having a meeting next week. We're only talking 7 days. In that time, just to go speak to those people, let us know what their opinions are. Like I say, a lot of times people don't like to come up here because, one, they don't like to argue. The second thing is they feel like they're confronting each other. Sometimes you can do a lot of work and a lot of good just a one-on-one. explaining what you want to do, how you want to do it, and how you're going to approach it. And I got a funny feeling that if you do that, then you're going to make a very, very, a thing that's going to last for a long time. Okay?
Councilmember Street.
Thank you. Okay, it says here that letters were mailed out to all the property owners. They've been notified. You've been through planning and zoning. You've explained it there. People have come to planning and zoning and talked about it, expressed their views or whatever. We've had a public meeting. We've probably had a public hearing. It's been posted. Everybody who would be interested in it has been notified. If they have not spoken up, I don't understand why we want to prolong this. Let the man get on with what he wants to do if we approve it. Otherwise, if we don't approve it, then he knows he's got to do something else. Thank you.
Councilmember Martin.
Mayor, like Susan Street said, planning and zoning approved it 5-0.
Are you repeating what she just said?
No, I'm giving you my...
Thank you.
I'm like Mr. Grant. Everybody has a right to do with their property what I believe, as long as it's in, you know, code and spec. And I believe we need to vote on it tonight. I think we need to approve it.
Okay. I will call for a motion.
Go ahead, too.
I move that we approve the zoning change request for the property located at CB 5903, block lot 8, otherwise known as 3902 Ackerman Road, Kirby, Texas, 78219, which is zoned single-family dwelling district R1 to be rezoned as multiple-family dwelling district R2 property.
Second.
I have a motion made by Councilmember Street and seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept the zoning change for the property located at CB 5903, block lot 8, otherwise known as 3902 Ackerman, Kirby, Texas, 78219. Please call roll.
Yes.
Councilmember Phil Salazar?
No.
Councilmember Janice Breyer?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Mayor?
No. The motion passes for the rezoning of property 3902 Ackerman Road.
Thank you, Council.
Going back to 9A. Presentation and discussion on City of Kirby Drainage Master Plan, Givler Engineering?
Yes, so Abraham.
I apologize if I butchered that name.
You did a great job with that name. You should hear some of the things that I hear.
Will you pronounce it for me?
It's Givler. You got your takers and you got your givlers.
Well, the sign check.
It's okay if I take my mask off?
Yes, sir.
I'm David Givler with Givler Engineering, and we have taken a look at the drainage situation for the city of Kirby, and I guess we have a little presentation up there. Can you put it on presentation mode? If you click on
the bottom,
that little icon in the lower right corner that looks like a screen. Almost there. A little.
Right, you don't have it.
Just a little to the left and up. That, just to the right. Right there. that's so much better.
Did you give him the clicker? Wait, you got to connect it. Turn it off.
Technical difficulties.
Is it on? There you go.
Oh, here we are again. Now, I don't know how to put it in presentation mode from here.
more. Next.
There.
What's that? I didn't do anything.
There we go.
All right, super. Thank you. Well, anyway, I'm David. David Gibbler with Gibbler Engineering, and the city brought to our attention that there are issues with the drainage in the city. You've noticed. There are at least three factors that come together to make drainage challenging here. Number one is you have pretty mild slopes in the area. You've got some areas with topography, but mostly it's almost as flat as a pancake. And lots of people think that that's great, but it's really not. It's a drainage problem. And that's made more complicated by the fact that you have expansive clays. So what's really troublesome is that when you try to drain a piece of property, you need a slope on it. And when the land to begin with is flat, that means that you're probably working with mild slopes. But if the ground is moving, then mild slopes are interrupted very easily. And before you know it, you could even have a slope that's backwards, going the wrong way. And in addition to that, you have some erodible soils here. So as the soil is moved by water and you have erosion taking place, then as that water reaches areas that have these flat slopes, it slows down and it drops out its sediment load and you get piles of dirt, basically sedimentation. And the last thing that I want to mention is just kind of, part of this recipe of trouble is that the city was incorporated in 1955, and a lot of the design that we see out here is kind of that era, 50s and 60s. And there was a different approach at that time. A lot of things were undersized by today's standards. So some of the ditches are too small, a lot of the culverts are too small, and then when you add in this moving soil, you've got sedimentation and things like that, then the limited capacity that's already too small gets even smaller. And we have had changing climate patterns over the years. So several years ago, they updated the rainfall patterns for this part of Texas using the latest standard called Atlas 14. And so basically, we are seeing more intense rainfalls now, and so there's a higher probability of flooding, even if the conditions were good from a drainage standpoint. But they're not good. They've been deteriorating, and you're getting more rain. So that combination makes it more difficult. So that's kind of the backdrop and the setting. Let's see how this thing works here. We've got 2 square miles in the city, and you've squeezed a lot of drainage infrastructure into that footprint. You've got, believe it or not, 40 miles of surface drainage related to streets. So that's the streets themselves. In some places you have curbed streets, and in other places so we're talking about bar ditches. But just the street, the drainage system associated with the street on the surface amounts to 40 miles of infrastructure. Then you've got 8 miles of drainage ditches and creeks, 0.4 miles of storm drains, and 30 storm drain inlets, and 13 bridges and culverts. And so those have been structures that have all contributed to, their function is to get rid of the drainage, but they've been having problems. So we spent a lot of time going out and looking at the drainage system. We've walked and driven virtually all the city. We've talked to the city staff to understand what kind of problems they've been dealing with and what things they're aware of that need to be fixed. And we've had our own on-the-ground reviews. We've reviewed a lot of aerial photographs and did some online investigations just looking for issues related to flooding in the Kirby area. And then we measured a lot of structures. We measured all the culverts and bridge openings. And then we did a lot of capacity analysis. So we determined how much runoff occurs in different parts of the cities. I'll get to that in a minute. But we analyzed the capacities of the various culverts and channels to find out what they're capable of passing, so we could compare that to what they actually experience. And then I should point out that for budgetary reasons, we did not include an inspection of the storm drains underground. There's 0.4 miles, so you've got almost half a mile of underground storm drain system. And to get a good look at that, we'd have to run cameras through the system to be able to understand what it looks like, whether it's deteriorating, and that's something that we would recommend that you do in the future. Let's see here. Now, this is just a portion of the city. This is kind of the central south part, but it gives you an idea of some of the analysis that we did. We divided the city up into three regions that drain to different major creeks, basically. Everything's a tributary of the Rosillo Creek in this area. And so we've got one drainage area, a large drainage area, which is kind of in the north and the east part of the city that drains to Rosillo Creek. This drains to unnamed tributary number two of Rosillo Creek. And I think the city should come up with a better name for that creek. And then we've got another area over on the left, to kind of to the west, which is another drainage area. But we looked at these three drainage areas, and then we broke them up into sub-basins, which are, and let me explain what I mean in this engineering lingo. When the rain falls over a part of the ground, that water collects in a certain place and goes to a certain location. And so as engineers, when we want to study a culvert or we want to study a ditch, then we figure out how much of the land is contributing runoff to that point. And these red lines on the map indicate the limits of those areas of land that contribute runoff to various drainage structures that are in the city. We developed about 50 of those sub-basins because you have so many drainage structures. And then we calculated how much runoff would be generated by each one of those. And then we compared that to what the capacity was of the various drainage structures that we encountered out there. When we tabulated, our list of problems, this is typically what we found. You've got some street flooding, so you've got places where the water gets so high that you can't get vehicles through at times, and so you've got some places that you close down routinely when it rains. Some roads, some streets. You have some really annoying standing water; stays there for long periods of time. It's a nuisance. It's an aesthetic problem. Can generate mosquitoes and also make maintenance difficult. So if you're trying to mow in those areas, it's very difficult. And then we have kind of the result of what I was describing earlier, the sedimentation problem and also the moving soil. You get adverse grading, and that means that the creeks and the ditches are sloped backwards sometimes. And so that basically makes the bottom of the channel act like a dam, And so you get these ponds and bird baths in the drainage systems. We mentioned sedimentation. And then some places just had a lot of vegetation, and it's kind of a chicken and egg thing. I don't know which came first, but there's a lot of vegetation in certain areas, which slows down the water and increases flooding. But it also makes it difficult to maintain, and you can't maintain it because there's water standing there. And so I don't know what started what, but you've got kind of a situation in some of these channels that there's a feedback loop that prevents it from being easily repaired. Take a look at the next slide here. So typical repairs that we looked at that we recommend would be modifying some of the road drainage crossings. So in some areas, really there's some regrading of the roads that need to be done in order to reduce the depth of the water at the crossings and to maintain access for traffic. In some places, there may need to be some inlets installed and some storm drainage pipes. There's some channel improvements that need to be done. Some of them are just too small. Some of them have been really encroached on by the sedimentation that I mentioned earlier. And it's really a large project, but it's like a large maintenance project. Some of these channels have gotten smaller over time because of that sedimentation. There are some culverts that are just too small, and so streets get flooded as a result. And then there's a lot of maintenance that needs to be done related to the sediment and related to vegetation growing up. So the city staff had given us a list of things to look at. We also found a number of things in the field. And by the time we were done, we had a list of 25 what we would consider priority items. And we developed costs for the various repairs and improvements, and they range from $4.5 million to about $5.4 million. If you look over on the far right, we've assigned priorities, what we would recommend as priorities for doing the work, and that's based on safety issues. Whenever there's high velocity water going over streets, that's a dangerous situation. Even if it's not high velocity, sometimes cars will float off the road and go into a new location, which is more dangerous. And I've actually worked on some cases where that's happened, where there have been fatalities because people's cars have floated off the road and then sunk in areas away from the road that were much deeper. Safety is driving the lower number priority levels. So also maintaining access. So really that's about safety as well, because if you're having a rain event and you have a lightning strike, or if you have some kind of an emergency, if somebody has a heart attack, if there's any other kind of emergency, you need your emergency vehicles to get to the point of need. And so I think often people think of these things in terms of nuisance. I really want to go that way. The street's closed. It ticks me off. But really, that's not the big deal. The big deal is that many times during rain events, bad things happen, and people can't get to where they need to be in life and death situations. What else do we have here? So we've got some other steps that we recommend here. One is we do recommend finishing the inspection by running cameras through the 0.4 miles of underground storm drains. Number two,
some of the drainage issues are not drainage issues on their own. They're related to the streets. And the streets, I think some of them were designed, you know, with very mild slopes. And that's just not modern design standard. Streets should have slopes on them. It's great if you can have at least a 2% slope. And that way the water's going to move. And then when the soil moves, you've also got a little margin for error as things change over time. But everything is so flat that as you proceed with street improvements throughout the city, that's something that you should keep in mind, that there's a drainage component to it as well. Most people are thinking about the potholes and the cracks, right? And they're emotionally driven by what they see and what they drive over. But this is a real important consideration that as you progress through that, you should phase in drainage improvements as well. And that's going to involve changing some of the slopes of the streets and adding some inlets and things like that, which were not included in this report. Also, there may be certain funding sources that you qualify for. That's something you should look into. There may be some sources through the state. And, of course, there's a lot going on the federal level right now. And I'm not an expert on that. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were some funding sources. And then always keep in mind that you want to prioritize these things that are going to really solve your biggest problems. So keep safety high on the list and maintain access as much as possible. You want all-weather access throughout the city as much as possible. And even when you can't, if you can't budget for total access everywhere, at least make sure you've got an alternative route to get to all parts of the city. I should mention, too, that as you're doing drainage projects, it's always practical to work from the downstream upstream. Because when you fix drainage, you need the water to go somewhere. So you need to keep that in mind as you work your priorities and you phase it for success. And then that's number five. There's just a process that's going to be involved in phasing this out, making sure that the pieces come together in a way that makes sense and does the most good for the city. So I think that's the last slide. There's the last slide. So I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Okay. Go ahead, Councilmember Street.
Mr. Givler, I was looking at the book that y'all left with us with the draft copy, and I thought that the initial base price, the lowest, was 3.1 million, not 4. What you had up there, 4 million?
Yeah, we've updated.
We just got it. Okay. Okay, because there was the lowest cost, then there was the higher cost with the 25% contingency and
yes.
Additional because it'll be in 2023 before we get started kind of thing.
Yes.
Okay, so they added almost 1.5 million to that. Okay. I understood most of what you said. When we start working our drainage, then we'll be looking at the three different watersheds, right? So we'll work from the lowest one, and then work from the lowest area in that watershed, correct?
No, I think that you can look at the lowest point in each of the
right.
watersheds.
Right, but so we start from the lowest level in the watershed, wherever it's draining to,
yes.
And work our way up and make a 2% slope wherever we can,
yes.
Is the basic idea.
Yes.
So as long as it has enough slope to get to another place where it has enough slope to get to another place, it has enough slope to get to another place, correct?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to piece it together because it's so flat. Okay. I did, yes. I used to draw topography map, so yeah, I got it. $4.5 million to fix the city before we can really do a lot of road stuff. If we incorporate the drainage into fixing the streets, would we have to put the side drains in? You know what I'm talking about? The little culvert drains on the sides instead of just having the concrete meet the asphalt. On the sides of the street, yeah.
Curb inlets?
Yes.
So that there'd be an opening in the curb area?
But we don't have those because we don't have any storm sewer drainage.
We do have some recommendations in here for locations where you could put them in, but that's part of the project is to extend the pipe from that inlet to go somewhere.
Right.
Discharge.
Yeah, okay. More engineering fees I see in our future. Okay. This was pretty informative. I didn't get a chance to look at the maps really well, but I did get a chance to read the first few pages of your report. So, and you followed it pretty well. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Councilmember Greider.
The underground drainage system, you were saying that's, well, obviously that's not included in the report. Why was that not included? And what's the estimate, like, how much would that be? Because I feel like if we're going to get assess everything, I want to know everything.
All at once.
That's
on the budget, isn't it?
The underground drainage system?
No, for the plan, yeah, there's $45,000 budgeted to do the camera work that he's talking about.
Yes.
Okay. And so when will that be conducted?
Well, we've not entered into a contract for that. We budgeted for it this fiscal year, wanted to see what came out of this to determine if you all wanted to move forward with that.
Okay.
I'm guessing you already figured out you don't get a one-inch drop per 1,000 feet on most of the streets. And in here, the older part is flat as a pancake.
Yes.
And there's no crown to the streets at all. Yeah, so.
There is.
When you... what I've seen in my living here, we basically go to the south, and to the east is what there is drop. Is that logical from what I can see every time? And that's mostly where our drainage is going when I'm watching it through the. But now, are you talking about going through the culverts and enlarging them and dredging? So as to relieve the sediment and all that.
Yes.
Okay.
Lost a lot of capacity in some of these channels over the years. And it happens slowly. Some of it's just moving soil. Some of it you can see. You can see where it came from.
Right.
You know, there's a
right.
place
oh, yes.
there's no vegetation. The soil just washed away.
Yeah.
Other places, it's also an accumulation of dead vegetation over the years. You know, that deteriorates and just adds to the soil matrix, and you've got less room for flow.
Would it be a correct assessment that this, if we didn't enter into this, this should be the first thing before we try to rejuvenate the streets, because it'll continue to undermine the street until we, with the standing water and the reduction in the backing up of the water?
Yeah, one of my first bosses in this business many years ago used to say, a dry street is a happy street.
Okay.
And so when you have ditches that are full of water, you know, on both sides of the street, and the street is sitting on expansive clay, it doesn't get much worse than that.
Gotcha.
So the clay, you know, it dries and shrinks when it's dry.
Right.
So I just want to say that I believe that the underground drainage system, we do need to go ahead and decide to get that done. The other thing is he made a very great point that, yes, everybody looks at the potholes on the street, yes, because visibly you can see that. But, for instance, like Fox Cross, as we see, that was number one on the list. That is a safety issue. I mean, can you imagine if your family needed emergency services? I mean, or let's say, God forbid, your child runs out of the street. I mean, that has flooded where it's been to chest level. Like, that's, you know, so that's a safety issue. So I really think that we need to, and I know Public Works has went out there and cleaned up. But we really need to think about the safety issues because that's the quality of life for the residents, and safety should be number one priority.
When you talk about the safety issue right there on Crest, just north of it, gentlemen, where that bridge is, yeah, we've grounded two police cars over there over the years, and it swirls. I've stood there and seen it up to the windows on one car, so, yeah, we know a kid immediately.
And that's because that had those culverts that Susan was talking about. It still has them there to go into the drainage, but the water never goes in there.
Nope.
Okay.
But, yeah, and here's another reason why we should keep up with the ordinance about people just blowing their grass and stuff into the street, because it builds up our drainage ditches. You know, everybody needs to give us a helping hand with that to stop the buildup in our drainage ditches, to keep them open and flowing.
All right. All right. Is there any more on this issue? Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Moving on to 9C, discussion and possible action on Ordinance O-2021-904, to repeal Ordinance Number O-2005-618 and to add a stop intersection at intersection north and south at Benz Engelman and Fred Hayes to Schedule 1 of Chapter 72 of the Code of Ordinances. This is the second reading. Is there any discussion? That's fine. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept for the second reading Ordinance Number 0205-618, replaced in repealing 02021-904, and stop sign intersection of Ben Zimmerman and Fred Hayes, north and south.
Second.
No, east and west, excuse me.
No, it's north and south.
North and south.
Yeah, it's north and south.
Okay.
I have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Apodaca to accept the repealing of Ordinance O-2005-618 We have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Grant, seconded by Councilmember Greider, to accept the ordinance O-2021-904 to repeal Ordinance Number O-2005-618 to add a stop intersection north and south at Benz Engelman and Fred Hayes to Schedule 1 of Chapter 72 Court of Ordinance. Please call roll.
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Councilmember
Martin?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes to accept Ordinance O-2021-904 to add a stop intersection north and south at Benz Engelman and Fred Hayes. Moving on to 9D, discussion and possible action on Ordinance Number O-2021-905, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. This is the second reading. May I entertain a motion?
You can, you don't have to. You can just call the ordinance number.
Okay. Mayor, I make a motion to
approve action on ordinance number 0-2021-905, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby.
Second.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Greider and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the ordinance O-2021-905, designating the official city newspaper for publication of matters pertaining to the city of Kirby. Please call roll.
Councilmember Abadaka?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar?
Yes.
Councilmember Greider?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes. The motion passes to accept the ordinance to designate an official city newspaper for publications pertaining to the city of Kirby.
If we can just add for public information, that's going to be the San Antonio Express News. So now going forward, that is where our publications will be listed.
9E, discussion and possible action on appointment of a member to the Economic Development Committee.
We do not have any applicants.
9F, discussion and possible action on appointment and reappointment of members to the Building and Standards Commission. Do we have two?
Okay, so yes, we do have, let me pull that up. In your packet, there are two that are seeking reappointment and one that is currently an alternate who would like to be appointed a regular member.
There are no applications.
No, they're already on there.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. Looking for their names.
I have them here.
All right, so that is Jack Major and Lexi Potter would like to be reappointed.
Those are two different motions, correct?
No, you can do the reappointments together and yes. Then the new appointment by itself.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. No, I don't have
that. I'm a liaison. Can I do it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mayor.
What?
If I can make a motion. I'd like to make a motion to reappoint Jack Majors and Lexi Potter on the Building and Standards Commission and at the same time appoint Jacob Kossip. Is that how you say it, Kossip?
Yes.
As a new member to the Building and Standards Commission. No, he wants to be a regular member.
And these would be terms ending October 2023.
We have a motion on the table by Councilmember Martin and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept the appointment for Jack Majors and Lexi Potter, also accepting the appointment for Jacob Kossib for their appointments ending in October 1st of 2023. Please call roll.
Yes.
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 Yes. 9F, discussion and possible action on appointment and reappointment.
We did that one.
I thought, did I skip? Oh, we, okay, thank you. I forgot to mark it off. Okay. No, I'm sorry. I totally messed up. 9G. Discussion and possible action on appointment and reappointment of members to the Beautification and Recycle Committee.
So we have both Barbara Herb and Alice Moxagimba who are seeking reappointment.
May I entertain a motion?
Mayor, I make a motion to reappoint Barbara Herb and Alice Moxagimba to the Beautification and Recycle Committee.
Second.
I have a motion on the table by Councilmember Greider and seconded by Councilmember Greider to accept the reappointments for Barbara Herb and Alice.
By Salazar.
I'm sorry.
Second.
Seconded by Councilmember Salazar to accept the appointments of Barbara Herb and Alice Michigimba to the term ending at October 1st, 2023. Please call roll.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Ryder?
Yes.
Councilmember Street?
Yes.
Councilmember Martin?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
I just want to say thank you to the ladies of the Beautification and Recycle Committee. You guys are doing. I thank you for taking care of our plants outside. I see you all the time from my porch. You guys are committed to watering those plants. I see you on the weekends. And also, they have some big things coming up that they want to do to beautify the city. So, anyway, thank you for your work and dedication and being committed and actually showing up.
Okay. I want to go back and just announce that 9E, that the appointment passes to accept Jack Potter, Jack Majors, and Ms. Potter, and Jacob Cossum, that motion passes to reappoint them. Also, the reappointment of the committee members' reappointment has passed for the Beautification Committee. Moving on to 9H, discussion and possible action on installation on a concrete pad at the Charles Conrad bus stop. Ms. Street.
I have a question. Will this concrete pad that VIA is not going to pay for, but they gave us an estimate of what it would cost to put one in, mm-hmm. would any of this be covered under ARPA?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'm just asking if this, is facilitating her movement to get to the bus stop. I don't know.
It's facilitating our citizens, from what I understand, VIA said no.
Right, VIA said no. I'm just asking if the ARPA money we're getting could be used for that.
Well, this is one of those things that lady has been here probably, maybe seven times.
I know.
I don't really care about the money at the moment. Let's get the lady the pad, and we'll worry about getting the money later. It's not that much.
Well, how much did it take?
We kind of have to know where it's going to come from.
But that's what I said. What did VIA quote us?
Yeah, oh my God.
So they gave a cost estimate of $4,515. And just to kind of go back, for those who are not familiar, the whole history of this. There was a concrete pad there years ago, and it was my understanding that, we don't know that for sure, that it was installed by the city many years ago for that bus stop. And there were complaints from the business there that it actually flooded their property. But either way, the bus stop was closed because when VIA did a ridership survey, it was not used. So they closed down that entire bus stop along with another bus stop on Ackerman. And Ms. Clay petitioned to VIA to have it reopened because it wasn't as safe for her to have to cross and get on the next available bus stop over by FM 78. So because she petitioned that, they did reopen the stop, but with the understanding that they had no intention of going back and replacing the concrete pad that they had removed. So we've been in constant communication with them, and again, Ms. Clay has been to us, she's been to them, to try to see if we could coordinate this and actually get the pad put back based on safety. And in talking with VIA, they considered it. They came back and said because they're not doing any current construction projects, they would not be able to pay to do this, but they did get that estimate and said, you know, if the city wanted to install it, one of the things they were thinking is that if we had another project ongoing, you know, that's already a contractor in the city, maybe they'd be willing to go ahead and do that pad, you know, for a little bit cheaper. But we would have to get our own official quote. This is just, again, an estimate. And again, I provided this to you all back in July before the budget was adopted to see if it's something that you wanted to pursue. So at this point, if you want to pursue that, you know, we would have to fund it through a budget amendment because we did not put any funding in for this.
Monique, if we're going to look for a quote on the price of the pad, can we look for maybe a cover too, see what a cover would cost there?
Like the ones that are at the actual bus stops?
Yeah, well, anything to keep her out of it's raining, you know.
Yeah, we can.
I mean, we either need to put the bus stop in, fix it, or take it out.
No, this is one of those things, honestly. It's quality of life. And that lady is a really nice lady. She's been very patient. She persists, and I applaud her for that. And, folks, I think she deserves a bus stop for the other people that go there.
I do, too.
Well, I think we should build a Via.
Like Mike was saying, the Via won't even put the covering up?
No,
they won't. They've already, they can't
justify paying for it because the ridership is so low. So they really, as a courtesy, reopen the stop. But the ridership is too low for them to justify any money.
I better start riding the bus.
Yeah. The police car pulled up and stopped traffic.
Right, and we've had officers multiple times. She said when the stop was closed, officers would stop traffic just so she could safely get to the other bus stop. So it is very dangerous. It's very scary.
Like that.
So this is a better option for anybody that, you know, has mobility challenges.
Right.
And because just because we're talking about this one resident right now, in the future it could be more. So yes, we just want to make sure that everybody's safe. I do have a question, though. The Northeast Partnership, don't we have a Via representative? Mm-hmm. Do we? I thought we had, like, a person for, like, Via from somebody.
No, there's one for the Metropolitan Planning Organization, which has the grants, but, yeah.
But I think that definitely this is something that
we need to look
should
into.
Do. But I do agree with
Martin.
I'm looking at him. I think that the cover.
Yes.
I would like that to. Can we get a quote on that?
We'll do that.
Yeah, people right here in Kirby that do that.
It probably won't be like the other bus stops because those are pretty expensive.
No, you don't have to be.
Yeah.
Cover. Yeah. Just something. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking because she needs the special ramp, you know,
right.
There's bound to be a grant out there for that.
Oh, that could be for ADA.
There's bound to be some kind of mobility grant or accessibility grant or something. But since we don't have a grant writer to hunt one down, it's going to be difficult to find. Should I start hunting?
Yeah, if you can find one, send it to us.
Yeah, I think she's correct on that. There has to be, especially if we're going to put it in ourselves,
there has to
be some type of grant program to help the disabled, especially when it comes to the infrastructure.
I would like to say, for whatever it's worth, if it's under, say, if it's under 7, that's what the covering law. And I'm going to bet it's going to come under that. I would like to see us go ahead and do it because researching the grant, writing it, getting it approved and everything, you're talking months down the road.
Yeah,
so this is one of those things that.
But, you know, that shouldn't hesitate.
I think we need
that
to
shouldn't
do it.
Stop Susan from doing
but
it.
But I think we just need to go ahead and just get it done and then see what we can find. This is, you know, I know this is the cart before the horse, but sometimes you do that.
Then I will call for a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion that we take a bid. I'll put bids out for the pad and cover. I forgot what it's exactly.
Right here.
Charles Conrad and Charles Conrad Bus Stop, yes.
I'll second that. And we still, I think, Susan can go ahead with
her plan to
look for money. You know, we still got to get a price on it, so.
Okay, we have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to start collecting bids for a possible concrete pad and cover at the Charles Conrad bus stop. Please call roll.
Yes.
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 The motion passes to start collecting bids for the concrete pad and cover at the the Conrad bus stop. 9I, discussion and possible action on resolution number R-2021-738 of the City of Kirby City Council for the adoption of the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan. Councilmember Street.
We voted on the insurance on August 26th, so Why is this coming to council for approval on October 28th when the effective date is October 1st?
Because we have to wait till we receive the finalized document from the insurance carrier to bring it to you for approval. We always do it in October, and it's not necessarily on the 1st, but that was the effective date that the insurance started.
So if their insurance is just out there dangling until
28th? No, they have insurance. I mean, it's effective.
But if they haven't chosen it because it's a cafeteria plan?
They have chosen it.
Oh. They have. Mm-hmm. We just have to approve the process?
Yes, ma'am. You're basically ratifying that decision that you had already made as far as giving them insurance. They have to make their insurance selections prior to
I was thinking they did.
Yeah, for it to be effective.
Okay, so this is just rubber stamping?
Basically.
Is this the basically IRS. The same thing they had last year? Were there any changes in it?
No.
Okay, then I'm confused.
Yeah, go ahead.
So what this is AmeriFlex sends us every year. Every year in October, we have to renew this. And that if we have any changes, then we have to make the changes. But we haven't had any changes. So Colonial is like that. It's a supplemental insurance that these employees can take. There is 7 different supplemental insurance out there that they can choose from. And this is required by the IRS that we have the authority to do pre-tax insurance. Mm-hmm. So every year we have to do this. And we currently have 15 employees that are doing the Colonial insurance. This is what it's for.
Okay, it's just that this form that we have is the same as last year. They didn't make any changes to it. So. Okay.
No, there's no changes other than the date. That's why we have to do that.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Any more questions? Discussion? I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I make a motion to accept resolution number R2021-738 of the City of Kirby's, the adoption of the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan.
I have a motion on the table by Councilmember Greider and seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Grant to accept the resolution R2021-738 of the City of Kirby City Council to adopt the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan. Please call roll.
Councilman Robert Dalton?
Yes.
Councilman Salazar?
Yes.
Councilman Greider?
Yes.
Councilman Martin?
Yes.
Councilman Street?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. The resolution R2021-738 adoption of the City of Kirby Cafeteria Plan passes. 9J, discussion and possible action on implementation of the background checks for Ordinance Number O-2021-903, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Kirby, Texas, amending Chapter 30 of the Code of Ordinance to provide certain qualifications for candidates for mayor or places on the City Council or to serve in places on the City Council of the City of Kirby. Discussion. Councilmember Martin, you're the one that wanted this on the agenda.
First thing I want to know, are we going to pay for the background trucks or are the candidates going to pay for it?
City.
City's going to pay for it.
The city's going to pay for this.
Through our lawyer, we were advised that.
So initially my recommendation was going to be that you charge whatever that fee is when they file a packet. But it was a concern expressed about their that being a fee to prohibit people from being able to run for council. So it needed to be an expense that the city incurred. So we would need to add a line item to that city council section of the budget to cover background checks.
Go ahead.
That's what I'd like to know. Which one of these are we going to go with? The free one, the $3 one, or the $64 one? You know, something we need to decide.
Councilmember Street.
Who does this apply to? Only candidates, or are we going to cover everybody?
Only candidates.
For
the city council. Because it only moves forward, it doesn't back up. The only time a ordinance backs up is when it's health and safety.
Run that by me again.
The only time an ordinance backs up, so to speak, is when it's a health and safety issue. When it's an issue like this, it moves forward to the next people coming.
Okay, so then as each person on council decides to run again,
yes.
Then they would get the background checked on. Okay.
So there's nobody grandfathered. Everybody's going to get it.
If they run again.
If they run again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so yes. Okay.
Do we currently run background checks on people that work here?
Yes, we do.
I'm asking. Well, then if we do, why aren't we going to just use the company that we use for that?
Because, we run DPS. We use this Texas DPS, a public safety record, and it has different sections. So you can run, your state information. You can run sex offender registry. You can select whatever different menus you want to run. We can use that, but we would need to set up a separate account and track that differently than how we're tracking the employees. But we could use that service. And another thing we'd have to do, because I'm looking at the message from the attorney's office, is we'd also have to get a document from them authorizing that they allow us to run the background check.
Correct.
Falls under Federal Fair Credit Reporting Act in order to get their permission to run it. And then
all you would have to do is get a release of information.
Yeah, and it says if you use solely a government-maintained database like Texas DPS, which is what we use for employees, then that Fair Credit Reporting Act would not apply. But it's recommended that the city adopt a separate standalone consent form that a candidate can execute authorizing a background search to be conducted. And if the city decides to use a commercial service to run background checks, then you need to provide the information on the individual's rights under the Fair Credit Reporting Act on that form and have them sign that.
Okay, I have one more question. When we run the background check, who does that information go to?
Well, that's something else that has to be decided as far as, like, who's going to run it and see it.
Yeah.
Because right now our account is set up under my name, and the Human Resource Director has access to run those background checks on my behalf and brings those to me for review for employees. So you all need to set up a system of how you want that done. Again, we'd have to set up a different account. So who in the city is going to run that? Am I going to run that? Is the city secretary going to run that? Because it's got to be maintained in that office, whoever runs it. And then, yes, that information is subject to open records with the appropriate redactions.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
And also, if a candidate refuses to fill that form out, unless we put it into the ordinance, you can't eliminate them. They don't have to sign it, and they don't have to provide the permission. And if they don't, you can't eliminate them.
Really?
Yes.
Councilmember Salazar.
He beat me to it.
Okay.
So.
Councilmember Greider.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Councilmember Martin.
I'm confused. That's why I'm asking this. So why, if they don't have to sign, if we don't put it on the sign, why
are we doing this?
Well, you brought it up. That's
what I know. That's what I asked you. I'm trying to learn.
Here's the thing, Councilman Martin. It's a thing about privacy, the Privacy Act, and it's covered. What happens is, depending on how deep it goes, if it goes into their criminal history, then that becomes public record, okay?
Okay.
And even though it's redacted, all you're going to do is redact names. You're not going to redact what happened or how it happened and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And as you can already see, even what is public record with people is already out there, so to speak. But a person, it sounds kind of stupid because of the fact of modern communications and media and things of that nature. It used to be that, like a police officer, that's very, very few jobs that you can take that you must get a background check. That's mostly law enforcement at the time or any type of an officer or things like that. But a private employer, as the city is, you cannot make someone give you, you cannot eliminate someone for not giving you permission to check their background. In this instance, we're elected officials, and to be quite honest about it, I talked to every Congress, talked to Zena. No other city checks the candidates.
That's what Monique said. I thought we checked everybody.
No, said, council no, candidates. No, council candidates. We nobody around. We researched that. Nobody around does that.
Okay, so
what I was they were told me they were concerned with is the fact that, and this is just the blunt truth. If something were to get out, you're going to face one heck of a lawsuit.
Okay, well, let's just shut this thing down.
In other words, what I'm saying to you is, if you be honest about it, and we've already gone through this as a city, to be very honest, there is enough with today's media that you can go to, I can name you six search engines immediately that will tell you everything. And I'm just being honest.
Oh, so, I understand.
So what I'm saying is, I agree with what you were going. I get the idea. I do, honestly. But the fact of the matter is, I don't want to see us get into a trip because somehow, some way, something would happen.
Okay, I understand that. I totally agree with you. But if we can't find out, why did we change the ordinance?
Well, the ordinance we changed was the qualifications to run for office, not a background check.
Right, but what I'm saying is, somebody lies to you, how do you know? If, you know?
Well, you don't.
That's what I'm saying.
If somebody lies to you, that's already ground for dismissal.
How do you know
how
they
do you
lie?
Know that?
Yeah.
Well, you can do a background check? That's what I'm trying to...
Yeah, anybody,
the thing.
Anybody
it's a circular
can,
thing.
Anybody can request an open record on the criminal history.
But I will tell you this, honestly, if you look around, if someone is not being straightforward and forthcoming, it comes out. I'm just being as honest as I can be with you.
Here's the thing.
So if somebody gets a candidate packet, they run and they check, you know, no criminal history, blah,
no,
blah,
no
blah.
Felonies on there.
And no felonies, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And then we find out different, then that is grounds to remove them from office because they violate a moral turpitude.
I'm in compliance with that. Yeah.
Councilmember
Greider.
Okay, so now with this discussion up here, I'm thinking that we just. Okay, so first I'm going to start with the background check. Monique, I have a couple questions. So I suggest that it would be a third party. Nobody up here or city staff should be looking at any of the information of any of the applicants. That's why we have such much divisiveness right now in the city. That's number one. Number two, how far deep of a dive do these really go? Because if we're talking about the safety, so it was brought up the reason why the ordinance in the first place, because safety, we're protecting the citizens. So that was said, that was stated. So nobody should be grandfathered in. That's another thing. When we talk about, like I want to say, a deep dive, I mean, this is going to go through not just like the state of Texas, right? This will be for a larger data. The reason why I'm asking is because there's different. So for people who don't know, there's different levels of clearances and background checks and stuff like that. For instance, when I got my clearance, when I went through, it took them 6 months to go through my stuff. And they went through everything. They go through your credit report. They go to my parents, my brother. That's how that works. Let's say when you talk about a deep dive, and the reason why I'm saying this, because the points that were made for this ordinance was supposedly for the safety of the residents, safety of our community. A resident actually got up here and spoke about, well, what if financially somebody did something and they... we don't want somebody coming up here who might have committed fraud or something like that. Well, that's why, for instance, like the background check that I have for my clearance and my position, they actually go through your credit report because they don't want somebody to actually have to end up being susceptible to a bribe or something like that. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. Even your family members. Because you don't want, I'm saying, the reason I'm saying is because that's when I said when you guys were doing this, you were, I don't know if you guys were just looking at, like, tunnel vision, but this has, how far are we going to go?
And now hearing the comment about if the person, the moral, was it turpitude?
Moral turpitude.
So if that was the case in the first place, what was the point of even having the, because we could have used that, or was that just something for show? I mean, now I'm confused. Like, so now why are we saying, well, if they check, if they lie, then we can just get them a moral turpitude? Well, why do we even have the big thing on the news and all this negative, all this stuff going on if that was just the case?
Yeah, that's what
that
I
doesn't
understand.
Make sense to me.
Well, history is history. Now, you turn it go backwards, and that's not going to
well, that's fine.
What we have now. You see, you're the level you're talking about is probably like
security level.
I'm trying to think of the military. Mine, a police officer, we go completely to the FBI.
Yeah.
Mine, it takes about 5 to 6 months to do also. And again, you're not a third party. You see, you've got an HR person that's still going to have to see it. They're going to have to know what's in that report in this city. It doesn't work like what you're saying. The report, you can have a third person look at it all day long, but until it goes to her and to HR to disqualify the person.
Right, I'm saying approved or disapproved.
Yeah, no. They have to know the information. You just can't move yes or no on
that. No, I'm talking about when I say a third party overseeing this background check, they would give it to and just say, you're approved or disapproved.
No,
or pass or fail.
It's HR.
It's
not
their
decision.
It's the city's decision.
Mayor,
we're going all the way around the bend with this. All you need is a release of information to be able to run a background check. That's all you need. Simple as that.
That was already there.
No, that's not there.
It was already there. That's time to release when I filled out.
No, so in your candidate packet, you sign, and I meant to bring that with me tonight, you sign a statement saying that you certify that you have never been convicted of a felony.
That's right.
And you sign that, and that's all you do. We do not follow up on that.
Right.
So you're certifying that and signing it saying it's true. Now, if someone comes in and challenges that and say, I know candidate A has a felony, I want a copy of that, they can go file a complaint that you lied, you violated that.
Yeah, you falsified a government document.
All right. Mayor, the reason I brought this up, I don't want the city liable in no way.
Right.
That's why I brought it, you know. And if that's what do you do to...
You know, our attorney suggests that, you know, what he approved of the ordinance we passed as it stood. And this can lead to people, you have organizations in this state that are separatists and people like that that go around challenging. In fact, we have one of the worst ones lives right here in this city that goes to other cities to challenge them constantly. He's Sheepdog 72, if you want to go look him up. My point being is, sometimes you really get down to the too fine of a point, okay? Right now you're taking somebody at their word. If their word isn't good, you know and I know it's going to take 2 seconds, and that's going to be the end of that.
I'm good with that, as long as I said, like I said before, when it's all turned out, you know, as long as the city ain't held liable and going to get sued, I'm good with everything.
So my question is, what are we doing? Okay, so what are we doing?
Well, I was about to ask that there has to be some resolution, because again, going back to Councilmember Martin's point, the only thing you're signing in the packet is saying you've not been convicted of a felony. The new ordinance says you're not qualified to run if you've ever been convicted of this list of things. Are you going to add a document to the packet that now has those list of things that a person is also going to certify and say they've never been convicted of that?
Yes.
That would be the
because
last
you have to have something. I mean, if you...
Yeah, that's what needs to be on there.
To the voters?
That would be the logical thing.
In 23.
Right.
So we need to base some on it. Basically, moving forward, we need to make a... Somebody needs to make a motion to list, say...
Addendum to
the ordinance?
Yes, that's what we need to do, the list. Well, I'm not saying necessarily to the ordinance, but there needs to be, because tonight's agenda item is about how you're going to implement this process. So if you're not going to run background checks, how are you going to implement the process? Are you going to add a form that now the person is going to certify these things also, and that's just going to be with their packet, and we're going to move on down the road, and it'll stand the same way the felony document does, where a resident can come in and say, I want to see that, I want to challenge that, because I know this was convicted
of one of
these
things. That's the easiest thing to do.
Okay, so if that's what you're going to do, we need that action, because filing period opens up in January.
There you go.
We as staff are not going to be making up a procedure. You're going to have to give us one as to how you want to implement your ordinance.
An addendum to the package that lists what that ordinance specifies.
I will call for a motion.
I make a motion that we ask staff to
add an addendum
to the packet stating, and I don't know what the ordinance is, 806, I forgot what it is.
The ordinance
2021-903
specifying the conditions laid out in ordinance number 2103.
Second. I have a motion on the table by Mayor Pro Tem Grant and seconded by Councilmember Salazar to add an addendum to the application packet for candidacy from ordinance number 2021-903. Please call roll.
Councilmember Abacasa?
Yes.
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 No.
No. Yes.
Yes. Motion passes to add an addendum to the council applicant package. 9K, update and discussion. Update, discussion, and possible action on K9 Jake. Monique, are you taking this one?
Well, Councilmember Street requested this item, so I'm happy to answer whatever questions you all have.
All right, Councilmember Street, you're up.
I have a list of questions. So, if you don't mind.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Okay. I have two sets of lists. Who put Jake on the crime control agenda? Monique.
I did.
Why?
Because there were expenses that needed to be paid for him to continue to be boarded. Kind of that program was birthed out of crime control funds. So that is where I saw fit to do that, because they had some extra money, as we did not have any budgeted. We had only approved $2,500.
Okay, well, I understand that they started Jake, but we ended him.
That's correct.
Okay, so he's no longer a member of the police department.
Well, I mean,
he's no longer a member of the police department.
He no longer have a canine program,
yes.
But he still belongs to the city of Kirby.
Yes, he belongs to the city of Kirby.
All right.
I'm buying that. We paid for the first, we voted to pay for the first 20 days of his boarding.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure why, but no one brought up the fact that after that first 20 days, he's on another 20 days. And then he was on another 20 days. And we're just now hearing that he's gone through two and another half cycle of $2,500. Am I correct?
Well, we knew that it was going to be $2,500 for every 20 days.
But we only voted for one.
Because that's what we needed to pay at the time. But it was discussed that he would be boarded for 20 days.
We approved one. We approved one.
Correct.
Why didn't our next meeting come up and say, Jake's still with us, we need to approve another cycle?
Okay. Well, I just didn't bring that back. I don't have an answer for you there. I didn't bring that back. I mean, I guess I didn't report that he had found a home, so I guess I took it to mean you understood he was still there. So I'll take responsibility for that. I didn't bring
it
back.
All right. Now, Crime Control had a meeting last Tuesday, mm-hmm. which I watched on video. And they, let me see if I got it right. Crime Control voted to pay the outstanding and upcoming balance, which is a quote from Stephanie, for the boarding of Jake, the former canine for Kirby PD, without any budget or time frame limits, and without an item noted on their current budget. but they'll incorporate this expense into a future budget amendment to cover the expenditure. And Crime Control won't change or amend their current budget now because they're only allowed one budget amendment. So they're saying, we're going to write this check to pay for Jake without it being on their budget. Can they do that?
They can. Like council can. You've done that before. You all approved last year for us to repave the parking lot at the John Sterling with the understanding that we would add it to the budget. You all also approved the Borchers Drive reconstruction project with the understanding that at the next amendment we would add it to the budget. So that is a process that is allowable.
Is it an eligible expenditure?
Yes.
Is it, can they pay for the boarding of an animal that's no longer a member of the police department? Jake has been decommissioned and is no longer on the team.
He still belongs to us.
He still belongs to the city, not Crime Control. Crime Control District has their own set of rules for what they can pay for. I pulled it up in the local government code. They're very specific.
So would you rather us come back and let the city pay for it? Is that your concern?
My concern is that they're picking what they get to pay for, and that's also taxpayer money. I realize it's coming out of a different pocket. Mm-hmm. It's still coming out of the Kirby money, but it's not... It wasn't discussed. It wasn't on their budget.
It didn't need to be.
And it wasn't on the city budget
and
either.
We didn't discuss it either. And why haven't we called Officer Murphy and asked if he wanted him?
Well, first, okay, before we get into that,
hold on.
Hold on.
I still have the floor, guys, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
point of order, Mayor.
Okay. So, first, and I know that a lot of us believe everything we read, so I'm going to start by saying that.
Mike.
And instead of getting into very specific personnel issues, I will just share that there is under no circumstances with the city, under my recommendation, give or sell Jake to either of his previous handlers, as they both resigned in lieu of termination for issues that the public is not informed of. And so I'm going to leave that there. Secondly, we did vote to do away with the canine program, but we still own Jake, and we care about him, and we have to take care of him.
Yes.
Nobody in this room, unless one of you all is going to volunteer tonight, is trained to take Jake home with them until we're able to find him another agency. So unfortunately, it is an expense that we have to incur. Now, whether Crime Control is going to pay it, or the city is going to pay it, or someone wants to pay it out of their pocket, Jake has to be properly cared for. He's going through training. He is with a professional company that's able to take care of him. He is not a service dog that can go home with somebody's baby. He is not a service dog that can go out with a resident. He is a trained dual bite and drug detection dog.
Yes.
You all saw him here when our now Chief Lieutenant, Chief Cardona, took him home for about 2 or 3 weeks to save us some expense. That is not a responsibility that I'm going to give to the Chief of Police to be also a canine officer. We don't have anyone in the city that can do that. So I shared with you all before, if we keep this program, we would still going to have to board it and hire a canine officer, or we were going to do away with the program. And I think you all made the right decision. It made most sense to do away with the program at the time. Unfortunately, we can't go back. We do not have the capacity to maintain a canine program, but we have to maintain the expenses that came along with starting this in the first place.
My problem is not that we still have Jake.
Okay.
My problem is that no one's been informing us that we're accumulating this money every month and giving us an update before we have to spend more money.
Okay.
So or what's the process that's being done to find him a home?
Okay.
Okay. I would love to hear who we're contacting to try and find him. Are we just looking around here? Are we contacting other places that use a dog?
Right. We're making contact.
I want Jake
agencies
to be in a good place.
Okay.
I totally do.
Okay.
I don't like the fact that I didn't know.
I'll take responsibility for that, that I did not bring back a consistent update on what was happening with Jake. I will do better with that. We are doing our best. It was our understanding that when he went to be boarded at the company, that they would do some due diligence with trying to find agencies that were in need of a canine so that we can make that smooth transition. We inventoried all of Jake's supplies to make that a package deal so that we could offer this price to get you equipment and Jake at the same time. But we have not had any takers at this point. So now we're doing some additional due diligence on our own. The chief has been, we've created a flyer that can be distributed to, what's the agency, like a website?
Okay.
So that we can try to find him a home. And, you know, until we can, he's going to have to stay there.
Okay, but we're still accruing this expense, so somehow we need to budget that.
And we can do that. If you want us to spend it out of the city coffers in the police department, that's fine. I mean, every fiscal year that we've had Jake, crime control had a budget for the canine program.
Yes, they did.
And the city had a budget for a canine program. It was always a shared expense. So I made that executive decision to put it on their agenda to ask them to pay those outstanding invoices.
Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
The first thing is the crime control is... If you want to, we don't address them, they don't address us. We just talk about their budget, and that's it. So if you want to, you're going to have to go to the state attorney general's office and file a complaint with them, because we don't have anything to do with how they run their budget, period, plain and simple. They're their own entity, okay? Simple.
They're established by ordinance. And
they still have the floor, Council Member Street.
If you will call TML, or if you'll call the Attorney General's office, you'll find out. It seems you have looked at a lot of things, but we don't have anything to do with how they run their budget, just like they don't have anything to do with us. Okay? That's number one. And Monique, if I may ask you a question as far as where the dog would go to previous people, you don't have to disclose. What was Jake's health when he first came up the first time with the first officer that resigned? What was his health status? Did he have heartworms?
He did.
Had he ever been to the vet since when? How many reports were falsified that he had been to the vet?
Well, that's too much. We'll just let that go.
Okay, so my point to you is, if the gadfly is going to speak, if the gadfly is going to go online and get all these people riled up about this, get your facts straight, son.
That's for sure.
Number two, when the second handler resigned, lieu of termination, what was Jake's temperament and health? Poor? Would you say fair to poor?
No, his health was improving at that time. That was a totally unrelated personnel issue.
I understand. And so what I'm saying is, no, neither one of those guys, you don't deserve that dog. They left the city and they're gone. Jake is our responsibility. And I don't care where the money comes from as long as we take care of it. But I don't like getting the emails in my little deal about someone wanting to hold a supper, bake cookies or pies or whatever. No, that's not the point. The point is we just can't let that dog go because of the way he's trained. And when ignorance shows like that on unrelated, unsupported page on Facebook, the ignorance is just amazing as to that person that prints that page and the stupidity. I'm thinking that you can take an animal that's a trained bite dog and turn it over to somebody. It doesn't happen that way. Y'all understand what a trained bite dog means?
Mm-hmm.
An attack animal? And you realize it is all in German?
I didn't ask them to give it to Joe on the street.
No, but it was the comment was made that it need to be one of the two handlers previous. That ain't going to happen. And number two is that animal is trained to serve. That's what that dog, that is his life. And he's still a young animal with a lot of life left in him. And
he deserves
to work for somebody and be rewarded for that. That's what his whole thing is about. Thank you.
Councilmember Salazar, did you have something?
I do, but I think it's more of a point of order for Ms. Susan Reed. I don't appreciate the way she was talking to our city manager. This is the second meeting in a row that she's talked down to people like she's in charge.
Point of order. You can't talk down to me either.
Point of order. He has the floor.
That's the fine example of what I'm telling, that this, just because she's a doctor, she thinks she knows everything.
Okay, but you know what?
I don't appreciate the manner in which she was questioning the city manager the same way she was questioning me in the last. She talks down to people, and we're not her children. So that needs to cease immediately.
Councilmember Greider.
Hold on, I ain't done yet. As far as Jake is concerned, we knew that if we didn't get rid of him, we were going to have to continue to pay. It's not like he's locked up in a cage. He's in an environment like puppy power, but specifically for police dogs. If these officers really wanted that dog, they would have said something. But they didn't. They waited to get on the page to listen to these guys tell the community, you know, the downfall of a dog when it was their fault.
Councilmember Greider.
Okay, so now I have a couple of points. So first thing, I think that maybe in the future we'll revisit our council retreat, just saying. Maybe we can do that because obviously. So, and I think it's just tones. Tones are different for everybody, okay? Now, I had wrote some stuff out, but Susan pretty much summed up some of the things that I wanted to say about the, that we paid for it, and then Crime Committee paid for the next 60 days, and they're going to ongo with no end date or anything like that. Now, my thing is, I don't agree also with there being no update. And moving forward, like, so I'm not going to repeat everything you said. You already said it was.
Yeah, I take responsibility.
You took responsibility, so let's move on from that. So basically moving forward, what we need to do, and for now, we're going to get updates on Jake. We will. Okay. So that's settled. Okay.
Thank you very much for not beating the dead horse.
Yeah, I don't even want to go back to that. Okay. So I also received some feedback from residents who's very upset about Jake because the way the information was presented on social media. And yes, this is not fluffy, okay? This is not your dog that's going to sit on your dog bed or whatever. The council meeting that Jake was in here, I don't know if everybody recalls, even when Chief Cardona brought him up to the podium, she said, everybody stay still, don't make eye contact, because that should right there tell you that this is not fluffy, okay? Yeah. This is not my spooky you guys eat in my house or whatever. That's not him, okay? So, moving forward, can we get, and I mean, I don't know, it'd be publicly, but you probably don't have all the information right now. Because I just want to make sure actively that the facility that has him is actively really looking for him somewhere to go. If we can get a list or a follow-up of the agencies that have been contacted, possibly maybe can we get some information like that that might settle everybody knowing that we really are not just holding him for $2,500. The other thing.
Chief, do you know what they're doing over there as far as trying to get him adopted out to another agency? Oh, okay. But they are actively seeking.
We are actively seeking.
And
that is job specifically to train and board the animal and take care of him, feed him, and make sure he's up to
date. So it's not their responsibility to look for some.
Ours.
It is ours.
Okay. Good to know. Okay.
Yeah,
thank you for that. Okay. So it's our active responsibility to look for him a home. Okay. I have a question. Do we... Since he technically, yes, he's an our officer, but I hate to say he's also our property,
right?
So, I mean, I don't want to say, yeah, you know. We cannot just, so let's say there's an agency that we know that, for instance, could use him. Are they going to purchase that from us, or could we give him to them? It has to be a purchase. Could it even be, like, let's say we find an agency that we know for sure
they're going to not do what we did, make the same mistakes. Could we sell him for a low amount just to get him in the place where he needs to? Do you see what I'm saying? Instead of, I don't know how much.
Yeah, no, that's totally our option, and that was part of why we did the inventory is to see if we can do packages together. We paid $10,000 when we secured Jake, but then we also, the sheet that y'all have, we spent all of these additional funds on equipment and supplies and so forth and training. So we know that we're not going to recoup all the money that we spend, and we're not going to make a profit. That we know that, especially that since we're paying to board and train him. So we're going to lose money no matter what. So if we come to a situation where we say, okay, this agency can take Jake and all of his equipment for $2,500, $5,000, that's still better than us continuing to have to pay every month. So we're working on, you know, we're willing to negotiate that.
And do we check on, do you, I'm not sure, because I know I obviously know you have a lot going on. Do you, is it all the correspondence on Jake is just through, like, email communication, or do you actually go to the facility?
I've not been to the facility as of yet, no ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, it's in Fort Wilson County. But typically we respond, me and the instructor or the owner will, or the trainer will respond through email.
And sorry, just one more thing. And I concur that I totally am against, I don't know this whole thing on social media, free Jake, give him back to his handler. That's ridiculous. We are not about to give, well, I'm not about to vote or anything to give Jake to somebody who was terminated. That doesn't even make sense.
I was unaware.
That actually makes no sense to give.
How was I supposed to know?
Well, we know those officers were terminated.
I didn't.
In the last meeting we spoke on that. But anyways.
That's it, Mayor.
Okay, Councilmember Martin, you had something to say.
Yes, I have a question. I made a trip this weekend, donated some money, and I come back to the checkpoint. I asked the Border Patrol if they were looking for a canine dog. They said, we're always looking for a canine dog. I said, this is also a bite dog. And they said to call their office. So I want Border Patrol.
If you had came up with that before this conversation, you wouldn't have had this whole mess.
I raised my hand right off the bat.
I'm so sorry.
I want to hear what I got to say.
We wouldn't be over here arguing.
Okay, Council Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Did you F4 Jake?
I'm sorry?
Did you send an F4 in on Jake?
An F4. No, we didn't, because he's still ours.
And he's still
a commissioned.
Yeah. He's still a police officer.
If you don't this,
he's still a police officer.
He's not being given a commission. He's still in Division 50 Club, just like
and
we
he's
did.
Still being trained as such.
Exactly.
Well, if he was gone already, he wouldn't. He'd be no longer with us, and we didn't do a decommission. So, what's technicality there? Just like fixing the budget?
He still
belongs to us. He's still lost.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you.
Obviously, we are.
This one works really hard. Okay, I work really hard. We're bleeding out here. A little consideration behind closed door would mean a lot to us. This is a public service.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
It's not fair to her. It's definitely not fair to me because I'm working hard.
I never said you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, but consider that. I'm not saying just you, anybody up here.
Yeah.
She doesn't deserve that.
I mean, and I got upset because, again, the backlash and the stuff that we get is simple questions that I feel like we could be asked instead of everybody believing that that Kirby Community Facebook page is the Bible. That is so annoying.
You guys represent the city just as much as I do. You're just the in-betweeners supposed to talk to us and communicate back, and we get to a common ground.
Yeah.
And that's why we're
putting our trust in y'all, and that's why we put our trust in y'all, and you trust in Monique. Well, anyway, let's move on. You're just going to keep us updated, right?
Yes, I will keep you updated.
And we'll go from...
In Crime Committee, they will... So everybody's aware now,
yes,
going forward, Crime Committee will be paying for the boarding.
Well, I did not... what you read there is a quote. I didn't hear that it was going to be in continuation. So I'm going to have to go back and
that's what the video said.
Minutes and figure out what their specific. It was my understanding that they approved to pay those two outstanding invoices and a pending one that we knew was coming. So I'll have to revisit that.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't there.
But Monique, if you would.
Well, if they already made the decision to pay it, then just allow them to pay it, and then we can pay the rest and give us an update over here. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's going to have to be paid no matter what.
Well, yeah, I know.
No
that.
Matter where you complain, what money it comes out of.
Right. I think the problem was is basically that it was under the, well, the city we were paying for, and then the.
Crime prevention.
Then crime patrols paying for it, like almost like a back pay type of thing for those past 2 months. And that's the issue. But we already resolved that. Monique accept the responsibility for that, and we're going to move forward. So my question is, with Jake, let's say that in the past, in the next three, 4 months, because to be honest, we don't know, and I really hate this for Jake, because he shouldn't be having to be going through this. But what happens if I don't? Can he stay in boarding for like 6 to 7 months? Like, how long does this take?
So it depends if we can sell him.
I think the Border Patrol may be our answer to everything. I think the Border Patrol may be the answer to everything. The state, you know, they'll buy
it. That was really helpful. I appreciate it. That's somewhere to go. But it just depends if it's taking this long because we can't find a buyer. Also consider the medical help as well. Because of the past and previous history, that might actually be a big argument.
Oh, really? Okay. I see what you're saying. Okay.
Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Well, here's one thing that I think we're going to find out, because I talked to I carry my commission in Sabinal, and I talked to Uvalde SO, and also talked to Uvalde PD, and everybody, their budgets are now just now, you know, October, they're coming in, okay, and I'm waiting for a phone call from either one of those two agencies, and because they're both looking, because we have a lot of drug traffic up and down 90. Coming into San Antonio. I don't promise anything, but I know the two handlers down there, one with the sheriff's office and one with the PD, and they're both good guys, and they're just about ready to retire, one of the two dogs. But the thing that I was going to ask Monique tonight, it's kind of funny, is we need to set what we think the value is of Jake so that we can go, I can go down
right.
and give them a solid number.
We did that.
And if you can give that to me, then I can give them a solid number, and maybe we can get this handled.
Yeah, you can give it to everybody that we, you know, that we're asking for.
And I was going to say, but we can go through ACOG also. ACOG has an outreach program.
Yep, they have an outreach.
And I've got no problem with going over to ACOG and to the school, because the guy over there is a good friend of mine that runs it, and put the word out there. I didn't, but again, the reason I lacked and didn't do that is waiting for the budget to come in line, and then also waiting for it to see what we thought was a fair price. And I know that sounds kind of callous, but we do have to have something. I agree with Councilman Greider. I think we know we're going to take a loss. That's the bottom line, okay? My concern is that this animal gets a super fine comb, and he gets to perform what his duties are, what he's been trained to do, and he's appreciated, and that's it.
Councilmember Salazar, did you have something to add?
Ms. Greiner does.
Thank you.
Did I get you confused?
No. I was wondering also, and Councilman Salazar brought this up to me, and I was thinking the same thing, the military. Have we reached out to the military? I can try myself to, you know, matter of fact, I know some people. Let me ask, you can reach out to the military too, you know, obviously.
Okay, so we both can, and then maybe I'll CC
you and Monique on there. Maybe the military, and that's the thing, and she just made a point. He's been out of commission for so long, I don't know, believe it or not, people have requirements even for their dogs, because these are important dogs, so maybe we could try that.
He's in constant training at the border,
at the
boarding
house. I don't
know
the requirements, because like she was saying, like they might not want a pre-existing issue.
That's true.
Okay.
That's what my ex-wife said.
Okay. I will call for a motion for a possible action.
Well, we need to continue. I don't know if there's a motion for it, but we need to continue looking for.
Is that your motion, to continue looking for a home?
Yes. Or to continue trying to get him back to his service. Getting back to what he was trying for.
No? Okay.
I didn't think we need a motion. We just need to.
We agree that Monique said she's going to give us updates from now on, moving
and,
forward.
And continue to look for somebody to pick him up.
That's right.
We
have no other choice. Other choice we have, we don't want to go there.
Well, Monique, can you get me how? Well, that's what we need to choose and figure out. And this is really callous, but unfortunately, this is the way it goes. What is Jake worth that I can go over and report to these agencies? How can we figure that out?
Let us know.
We don't know. We're not canine handlers or trainers or nothing else.
What I'm saying is,
just the dog itself with its training.
How much do we want to recoup? In other words, when we take five, if I went down to the SOA there in your valley and said, "Hey, Jake's available for $5,000," and they said, "Okay," that's what I'm trying to say. It's like.
I think the easiest thing is going to be that we give you all a copy of a document that shows a picture of Jake and all the equipment that he has, and you share that with agencies or contacts that you have, and they can contact us if they are interested in negotiating a price.
We'll do anything that we need to do besides the other alternate.
Oh, hell yes.
And I don't want to go there. That's why let's do what we got to do for finding a home.
All right.
So we don't need a
are we good?
For that.
All right. Okay.
That's good.
Moving on to 10A, an announcement on city events and community interest by the city manager.
I don't have anything.
Okay. Moving on to 11A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city agendas and announcements on city events and community interest. Councilmember Salazar.
I don't have anything, Ms. Mayor.
Thank you.
But I know what you've been going through this last week. I'm going through it myself. And I will just want to send out my condolences to you and Savannah.
Thank you.
Also, Halloween is Sunday, guys. Make sure you dress up your kids appropriately. Make sure you use the sidewalks. Make sure they're lit. They have flashlights. And if you see anything suspicious, please call the police department. Anything you may see that's suspicious, please call the police department. A lot of the people that are going to be there at their houses giving out candy, they too should be vigilant of what's going on around them. And have a safe Halloween. That's it.
Councilmember Greider.
About the Halloween, I saw the post about the fire department. You're having a drive-through. I think we need to mention that. I didn't get the time.
It's going to be 4 to 9.
4 to 9. So you can go to the Sunday on actually Halloween. Okay. 4 to 9, you can go to the fire department drive-through, correct? Okay.
Yes.
And then also I know the senior center, I figure you... You're going to do that? Okay. All right. So I believe a small space needs to be set up here in City Hall for it doesn't have to be a big space or anything. It could be a small little nook or something or whatever, where it's like a desk and a computer for the council. If they need to come up here, they can sit, they can research, do if they need to create a flyer, whatever they need to do. I believe a small space can be, it can even be in there in the corner or something. I would like to see that happen. That's one thing. Number two, Councilwoman Street is always talking about grant writing. I think that unless there's a reason why she can't do it, I would like to say start writing. I mean, I don't understand. If you can, would that be a conflict? I think we should need to think about, we could use her for, I'm not, that sounds hard, but, we can use her resources and her abilities if that's what she would like to do. If there's not a conflict, would that be okay?
Yeah, I don't see.
Okay, all right. So, Susan, you have to go ahead for that. Okay.
You sure that's not a conflict of interest?
Well, that's what I was going to say. You need to check with the attorney first.
Can you check with the attorney to see
volunteer
if
service, just on your own time, you're going to at home, right?
That's what I was doing at the senior center, and it was a conflict.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, let me move forward. Okay. So,
people, let's grow up. Come on.
San Antonio.
Excuse me?
Yes, ma'am. Councilmember Greider has the floor at the moment. Thank you.
San Antonio Youth Rugby Academy will host our second clinic for our Kirby Youth Community Outreach event. All ages starting at 5 and up, male and female, so don't forget to come out at Friendship Park. It's a free clinic. The second time San Antonio Rugby will be out there, 9 to 11 a.m., October 30th, this Saturday. Hope to see you all there. And also, I'll have some treats and stuff for the kids who decide to come out. November 1st, Travel the Trail with Council, hosted by myself, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Come out and walk and talk and get some exercise. I want to get to know you and you to get to know me. The location has changed. Thanks to a resident, Mr. Faulkner, he did make me think twice about the location. So it's going to be changed to Hugo Lentz Park. That's where we're going to meet. And then we're going to continue our walk. 6:30 to 7:30, address 5750 Old Seguin Road. Hope to see you there. Okay. Mrs. Clay brought this to council. And we're going to actually move forward about discuss presenting a Civilian of the Quarter Award. I already purchased and designed a 1-yard sign for that, but also I want to add to it, I was talking to our resident, Mr. Romans, and he had a great idea. We should do also Youth of the Quarter. Why not? We have so many great kids here. Why don't we honor them also? So I'm going to create a yard sign for that. And
I can help you with the vinyl on that.
Okay.
And the first one and, goes in my yard.
And then I do agree also with, and I don't know if we have to put this on the agenda, or I don't know how this works, but I do agree actually with the resident about what Christopher Garza said about the committees and board those meetings. If we can do the Facebook Live, let's just do that. That's the way that can shut everything, like just how we had earlier about the public hearing, Facebook Live. Get on Facebook, you can see it. So that should shut all the naysayers down about that, about trying to hide information. Is that possible?
Well, we had already talked about, I thought, during the budget season, how we ordered a camera system that was going to be able to live stream the meetings. That was something we were working on. Mm-hmm. So that is forthcoming. That equipment's been ordered. I'm not going to promise that I'm going to be at every single one of those meetings to Facebook Live them. But I will.
But somebody will be, right?
Not that necessarily has the Facebook Live. So, I mean, we can do our best on that until that system is set up so that it will be in this room to be able to record the meetings and stream them.
Okay. And then, also, well, I already said it earlier about the Beautification and Recycle Committee. I think they're doing a great job. They have a lot of things coming up. And I would like to make a suggestion. So we all up here are liaisons to different committees and boards, okay? So, but the thing is, I feel that we should actually, I don't know how you guys feel about this, but possibly report back. Like, if something's going on, you know, so we know what actually is going on in these different boards and committees.
One.
I mean, we're not there just to be happy to be there. We're actually there to, like, kind of listen and, you know. So I think that's something we need to actually start doing in the future, if possible. And I mean, we can start at the beginning of the year. Say, hey, the beginning of the year, from now on, like, once you attend that meeting, like, report back at the next council meeting and say, you know, I mean, some might not have nothing going on, you know. I don't know, but just I think that might be a good idea. Thanks to all the city staff, Public Works, and Kirby PD and the fire department. And also to Mayor, I do want to say from the Greider family, my sincere condolences to you and Savannah. I can't even imagine, but like I said, anything you need, we are here and praying for you.
Thank
you. And
that's it. Mayor Pro Tem Grant.
Again,
union here, and I sincerely understand your loss. So sorry. And I'm sure the city and you know and everybody sitting here is behind you 100%. Appreciate it. And we're going to, unfortunately, go back to this situation. I cannot understand how people, intelligent people, can read a piece of garbage and a rag that has absolutely nothing to do with this city, nothing at all, and to listen to the rants and the ravings of someone who absolutely knows not what they're talking about. It is beyond my comprehension to believe that we have reduced ourselves to believing something that is not even close to being true. And, you know, it's not hard to disparage the gentleman at all. And it seems like he has a lot of people running around doing his bidding, and I don't see him hardly anymore. That's amazing. I've always been of a mind that if I have something to say, I'm going to say it to you. I'm going to say it to your face. I'm not going to hide behind something. So a lot of tonight came from that piece of crap that we see.
Point of order.
That's in the dictionary. And if it's in the dictionary, I can use the word in case you haven't figured that one out.
It has nothing to do with the city council.
Point of order. You know what? I'm really struggling here.
That's right. And
I am sick and tired. Sick and tired of this back and forth. People, please get it together. Mayor Pro Tem Grant, you still have the floor.
Well, I guess I just proved my point. Thank you.
Sure as hell good.
Councilmember Street.
The use of point of order is to call attention to something that was not necessary to be used during this discussion. That's why I use it. That is the proper way to do it, not just yelling back and forth. Okay, for the agenda, I also had council liaisons should be reporting back from their committee meetings that they attend, and that should be a regular council agenda item. I also had that committee and board meetings, it would be nice if they were recorded so that we can see them, recorded by the city. I wanted to put Blue Santa on the program for next time on the agenda so we can get some information out to the public so that they know what's going on. We got a kind of short lead time on that. I think December 1st is the day they're going to cut off donations, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct.
So that gives us a month to see if anybody else wants to participate. The Santa Parade. I was wondering if we were going to allow residents and businesses to decorate floats and be part of the parade this year. I think it would be nice if we could. I don't know what the procedure is, but maybe we can discuss that on the agenda next time. Generators for emergency purposes. You said that we had talked to the departments and they've already established the size of generators that they need. Mm-hmm. Have you found out if that's going to apply to ARPA money?
I haven't, but remember I told you that would be on next week's agenda.
Okay. Has the city reviewed our emergency response procedures for another winter storm event? Can we put that on the agenda?
When we have it ready to bring you back.
Okay. All right, then. Again, my condolences, Mayor.
Thank you.
On your loss. And you and your family are in our prayers. Thank you to all our city employees, and everyone be safe.
Councilmember Apodaca.
I'm the liaison for the EDC. Meetings, and the meetings get canceled pretty frequently because lack of quorum. So we cancel the meetings, and then we don't have another meeting till the following month. And Monica, I was thinking that maybe when we set up the dates for those meetings, maybe we can set up a second alternate date in case that first meeting doesn't happen. And maybe for like the following week. Because I feel like we have a lot of good things going on, but we don't get together enough to see them through. So I was thinking that maybe we can start doing that for the meetings. And not just for EDC, but maybe the other committees can do that.
Now that's going to be tough because, you know, pretty much almost every night of every week there's meetings already on the calendar. So
okay, so just a thought. And then just one announcement. The Turner Club Ballroom is going to have a holiday craft and fair on November 6th. It's from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Hamburgers, hot dogs, and a bake sale. So if you have any questions about that, you can call the Turner Club. That's it.
Councilmember Martin.
Again, Mayor, my condolences to you and Savannah. If there's anything you need, just don't hesitate. Let me know. Monique, the email we got from Patty about the crime report, San Antonio. Mm-hmm. I had three other ladies reach out to me, want to know where we got those from. I said, I don't know how to ask. What scale they use. I said, my opinion, Kirby's not that bad. You know, I don't know what scale they use to see it or whatever. But I told them I'd ask because we had this.
So they use FBI crime stats that we do report, but you have to look at how they compare the data based on your population size and your number of crimes. If you look at that, it's really skewed based on your size of your community.
Exactly. And I didn't know what scale, but that's what I told you. I said, I'll try to find out from you. Is there a way that we can reach out to them somehow to let them know that what crime is not as bad as it seems to be?
Or to the residents or to Kaysen?
No, the residents.
I don't want to reach out to
the residents. Because they said their kids are calling them wanting to move out of Kirby. It's a dangerous place to live. I said, no, I don't think that's happening. I don't think that's the way it is. And, you know, do we need to bring it back to put it on the agenda to discuss it? Or
it'd be good to do just an official report or update on how those reports are and where that comes from.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Because, you know, these older people, they retired. They don't want to move. Their kids are scared to death for them. The other question I have is, when the meters are pulled and the water's cut off, does the trash still get picked up?
Oh. Not supposed to. Not supposed to, because that means your account is not active, and if you don't have an active water account, you don't have an active garbage account.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I want to bring that up. And then I want to thank everybody, all the employees. We appreciate y'all so much. And y'all have a happy Halloween and be safe.
And Mayor, I'm sorry, before you.
What? Senior Center Halloween?
Senior Center Halloween, 6 to 8, Sunday night. It's a drive through and they have bags of goodies and I think hot dogs and chips.
And Mayor, I should have added earlier that today is National First Responders Day, so if we can thank all of our first responders in the city of Kirby for their service.
That was going to be my first announcement.
Okay.
First of all, you know, of course, this is National Responder Day. I want to, thank all of our first responders because our city would not be as safe as it is without our first responders, with our police and our fire. And I am very grateful to our police and fire. Thank you so much for choosing Kirby. Second of all, Kirby Baptist Church is also having a Halloween festival. I believe it's from 2 to 7 on Sunday. And now I want to address, I want to apologize for my outburst. It gets very frustrating sitting up here, and I feel like I'm a parent corralling children, and I shouldn't have to feel that way. And I'm not going to feel that way, and I'm not going to put up with it. And we all have to treat each other with respect. We are all one team. And if somebody is speaking, please give them the respect. Let them finish speaking before you try to interrupt them. And when they stop talking, then make your point. But don't interrupt them. Wait till they're done. That's called respect. And if you speak to somebody and the tone is wrong, or if you think the tone is wrong or whatever, maybe you need to say it in your head first before it comes out of your mouth. Last but not least, I want to thank everybody, including city staff, city councilmen, and friends and residents of Kirby that have reached out to me in this difficult time. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Meeting adjourned.